Thank you, Eric. Okay, it's my turn. I want to pass these handouts around.
Oh, that'll be
your time. No, I'm giving them to you. Okay, while the handouts are going around, let me see a show of hands. How many of you have already done an autosomal DNA test? Okay, that's pretty good. That's almost half of the group. Another question. How many of you would consider yourself at least somewhat comfortable using an Excel spreadsheet? Fewer hands. Okay. What I'm going to talk about today is how to work with your autosomal test results. Now, when most of us get our test results, we look at it and it's a list of hundreds of names and we haven't a clue as to who these people are. And then if you're like me, for the first year or two, you just sort of played with the names and maybe you get lucky and find out who one or two of these people are and say, oh, we match from that person or this couple. What I'm going to do today is take you through a process that will help you really focus your use of your autosomal test results. Now, it's going to be fairly technical. I don't expect any of you to get it all the first time through. I have made these slides more specifically to be available on the website in a week or so. There's going to be more information up here than you can take in today. The handout is also fairly detailed. I have included some Excel tips. I use Excel 2010 on the back of the handout. So all of this you can go home and look at later. Today, if you get the concept of what we're doing, and if a few of you happen to get the process, that's an added benefit. But it's the concept of what we want to do. Some of you may decide to take the autosomal test and say, this is just too much. I don't want to do this. It can be a lot of work. I want you to know that everyone who takes the autosomal test has contributed to our research just by taking the test. So if this overwhelms you, don't feel guilty like you should be doing something with it. DNA testing only works when you have a lot of matches to compare. So we need everybody we can get in the database. They don't all have to become experts at doing what some of us are going to do. Let's go the wrong way. The thing you want to do to get the most benefit out of your autosomal test results are to identify what's commonly referred to as a triangulated group of matches. Now, what this means is that you have a triangulated group is when you have three or more people, and that would include yourself as the tester, who all match on the same segment of the same chromosome. It's not three people that you just happen to match anywhere. We need to focus down onto the matches that are on the same segment of the same chromosome. You could have you'll see me referring to it as groups more often than triangulated groups. You could have a group of one or a group of two as far as identifying some of your matches. But the importance of a triangulated group is that all of the members in that triangulated group will share a common ancestral couple. And that's what we're trying to identify. Maybe it's a couple we already have in our chart, in which case we have just validated our paper research, or if it's a couple we don't yet know about, it's a way to discover who these people are. But that's the important thing for a triangulated group. They will all have the common ancestral couple. Now, you also, if you get large enough triangulated groups, you've got a bunch of cousins of some degree or another who are all and should all be interested in finding that couple. So you've got an automatic built-in research group, a little subgroup that you can work with. Maybe some of them have records, maybe others don't, particularly since our Orangeburg ancestors tended to spread out all over the country. You know, this is a way to connect with those fourth, fifth remote cousins, and work on something together. Another thing is that if any two people in that group identify that common ancestral couple, and I do need to stress that with autosomal DNA, you always want to be looking at the couple that the DNA came from, because only at certain points can you tell which part of the couple it came from. But if any two people in that group can identify their couple, that may be somebody behind your brick wall, and then, boom, look what you've got. So, if you're like me, you started out, and like I said, you might have randomly started trying to identify some of these people. You look through the surnames list and say, oh, well, there's somebody with a Schuller or a Felder surname, and you contact them, and yeah, maybe they match. But what I'm going to do today is show you a way to really focus this research. Now, there's getting to be more ways you can do this. Lynn mentioned that you can download your information to GEDmatch. They have some tools there that help you with this. there's software now available, GenomeMate, that will do a lot of this for you. It's got probably more bells and whistles than just the bare bones Excel spreadsheet version that I'm going to show you. What I'm going to show you today relies on using an Excel spreadsheet. If you're not familiar with using Excel, I suggest if you want to do very much of this that you try to get a book or, you know, somebody knows a little bit about it to show you a few of the hints. There are some on my handout. I'm going to show a few pointers as we go through it that you'll need a lot in Excel, but I don't want to focus on the details of using Excel. Excel is just a tool we're going to use to get to these results. You can do this work with your test results from any company except Ancestry. You would have to download to a third-party site like GEDmatch. What you have to be able to do is access your matches, usually through the chromosome browser. I'm going to focus strictly on working with your results at Family Tree DNA today. So what this is I hope to get you started at least thinking about and maybe actually being able to do some more focused research on your autosomal DNA results. The first thing you're going to want to do is go to your Family Tree homepage, and where you find your Family Finder results, just to the right of that, you probably, hopefully most of you have looked at the chromosome browser. Alright, if you click on that, this is the top part of the chromosome browser. Right over here, very fine print, it says download all matches to a CSV file. You want to click on that link. Now when you do that, take a deep breath and relax, because you're going to get something that looks like this. And if you think that list of names looked horrible, this is going to look even worse, unless you're a real number nerd like I am. What you're going to want to do, first thing you're going to want to do, depending on how many matches you have, I don't have as many matches as most people in the project. I only have like less than 300 matches, so I've only got about 3,500 rows in the spreadsheet. This represents every match that Family Tree DNA is reporting for me. I have seen project members that have over 1,000 matches, and that these spreadsheets run to 14,000, 15,000 lines. So, we're going to do a little work on this. To make this more legible, I call it making it a little more eye-friendly. There's a couple things you can do in Excel. I like to spread out the columns that have numbers on them, right here and here. Put some commas in there. There's a way to do that. If I'm reading 9-digit numbers, it's a lot easier for me to read them with those commas in there. I change the headings a little bit. That I've described in the handout the ways you can format to add numbers and decimal places and stuff. So I start out by making the spreadsheet a little bit easier to look at. And it's still a spreadsheet. Okay. before you go very far, you're going to want to save your work. Now, before you hit the save button, there's three pretty important things you need to do. You're going to want to use the save as function, not the save, because the first thing you want to do is give that file a better name than what was automatically created. Mine was called 71130 Chromosome Browser Results 1. I strongly suggest that you put the name of the person tested in the file. Mine says Margaret's autosomal DNA matches, particularly if you manage files for several people. You want the person, the test person's name in the file name. The second thing is the file should be saved as an Excel workbook. The default down here is that it's that CSV file you download. You need to go over here, click the little down button, and choose the Excel workbook to save it that way. And then I strongly suggest you decide what folder location you want to put it in, because if your computer's like mine, it's going to put it somewhere you can't find it. So those are three things you want to change before you hit the save button. Once you've got that set up where you like it, go ahead and hit the save button. Now, I like to reduce things to no more than what I need. So because I put my name in the file name, I'm going to eliminate this first column right here. I'm going to just get rid of it. That's my name all the way down. I'm the person that matches. Well, if I look up at the top of the computer, my name's in the file. That allows the information usually to be seen on one screen. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like scrolling back and forth, sideways. So that's the first thing you can do. The next thing you want to do is to do a sort. And that's one of the lovely functions of Excel spreadsheets, is that they can sort your data for you. You're going to want to do a sort on the column that I have changed the heading to CM. That's centimorgans. That's the length of your segments. You're going to want to sort on that column. Now, I'll briefly go through the sorting process in Excel because you're going to use it so frequently. If you don't, like I said, if you don't get it all today, don't worry about it. when you select the centimorgan column, you'll then go up to your main tabs across the top. You're going to want to select the data tab. When you get there, right there, you'll see the sort function. You click that. You get a little pop-up box. It's going to ask you, you sure you want to do this? You know, what it's saying is that there's some other data there. Do we want to carry that through with the sort? Yes, you do. It should automatically be on the expand the selection. So you click sort. Okay, we're not through with the pop-up boxes yet. Sorting. Excel gives you the ability to sort on any column in the database. We're going to want to choose the centimorgan column, which that little drop-down arrow right there will give you all of your column headings. You're going to, in this case, you're going to click centimorgans. These two columns change depending on what selection you made in that first one. If it's text, it's going to say something like values. If it's numbers, it's going to sort on the numbers. So for this first sort, we want to sort on centimorgans, and we want to sort highest to lowest. In other words, we want the biggest numbers on top. Occasionally, you will need to sort on multiple levels. For example, a later sort that you'll use a lot is to sort by chromosome first and then by segment. That's how you're going to group all your similar segments, but we're not there yet. So this add and delete levels is what you would need to use when you're doing that. We getting a weak battery here. There we go. All right. Going back to the spreadsheet, we've got it sorted highest to lowest. Now, before you do anything else, there's two terms you need to be familiar with. Identical by descent and identical by state. Identical by descent means that you and the person you match share a common ancestor somewhere probably no further out than 8 to 10 generations, which is sometimes theoretically accessible to us. Identical by state are coincidental matches. We're all humans. Humans share like 99% of our DNA in common. So there are some portions of our DNA that we all have the same SNPs. I mean, you know, it's just random. It's also possible, and this is a whole other subject, that some of those matches are significant, but they're way back beyond what we're going to access genealogically. So the important terms to know are identical by descent and identical by state. Why do you want to know this? Any of your matches that are 10 centimorgans or longer, 10, 12, 13, 14 centimorgans. At 10 centimorgans, the studies that have been done so far is that 99% of those matches are actually identical by descent. You should be able to find a common ancestor. Lynn touched on this briefly. Our shorter segments are not so reliable. At 5 centimorgans in length, maybe only 1 out of 10 of those matches are really from a couple that you might ever be able to identify. And at 8 centimorgans, it's about 50-50. So, because we have just sorted our spreadsheet by length of the centimorgan, our choice now, is to go back to that spreadsheet. And we're going to put it on a serious diet. When you downloaded those matches, you got 1 centimorgan matches and 2 centimorgan matches. There are occasions where you might want to use that data, but don't start with it. Let's just go to the meat of what our matches are. So determine what your cutoff level is going to be. If you've got a lot of matches, you might want to start with a 10 centimorgan cutoff level so that you know that when you got your spreadsheet worked out, that's significant information for you. I don't have as many matches, so I didn't follow my own advice. I cut mine off at 7 centimorgans. And keep in mind, you can always go back and download this and create a different version of it. So you're going to go to the point where you decide to cut off. In this example, I'm cutting off at 10 centimorgans. You're going to highlight everything below that to the bottom of your spreadsheet. And then you don't have to hold your breath, hit the delete button. You've just reduced your spreadsheet probably by about 90%. But what you're left with is the meat of your matches, and that's what you want. All right. After you've done that, there's one more thing that's helpful to do to your spreadsheet. You want to add a column over on the right. I like to label it MRCAC, Most Recent Common Ancestral Couple. If you already know who some of your matches are, this is the column where you want to put in the most recent couple that you match with that person. For example, I've had 4 first cousins get tested. Our grandparents are the couple. So I go in and add in that column. The convention I like to use is 3 for the grandparent generation, and then I put the 2 surnames of the couple. In this case, it's Bolin and Sally. I have, like I said, 4 first cousin matches, so that's what all the green highlights are. That's something else I like to do. Again, this is just as you get more comfortable with Excel. I tend to highlight my matches so that once I've resorted, you know, when I see that green somewhere in there, I'm going to say, oh, I know what that is without even looking at the name or whatever. That's one of my first cousins. If you've got a lot of close matches, you may want to sort your spreadsheet on the match column so that you can get everybody's names together and put the data in on the couples there. As you find matches and identify them, you're going to want to go back and add the information in this column. an important thing to remember, and this applies to, unfortunately, a lot of us, if you match somebody from more than one couple, you need to list both of those couples on that column. Right there. Because until you put these matches in a group, you don't know which couple that match could come from. So put as much data in there as you can. Okay, we're going to get to our last sort for now. We're going to sort by chromosome number and start location. That puts everything on chromosome 1 first, all the starting locations together. Now, if you're looking at this spreadsheet, even though we've reduced it a lot, it's still a pretty big spreadsheet, and that's a lot of numbers. And if you print it out like I do, you're looking at 20 or 30 pages, and your brain is going to just give up and say no. My suggestion is you pick one chromosome, and I suggest you start with the higher numbered chromosomes. You probably have realized that chromosome 1 is our longest and 22 is our shortest. Go to one of those chromosomes where you have fewer matches to start getting comfortable with this project. Another thing I like to do is when I decide what chromosome I'm going to work on, I copy it to its own separate workbook, worksheet within the workbook. The example I'm going to use is from chromosome 15. So I will copy and paste all the data from chromosome 15. Into a separate sheet. It gives you often on one page. It's a lot easier to look at one page of numbers than it is to look at 20 pages of numbers, I think. Alright, what you're going to want to do here is start looking for numbers where they overlap. And you'll see where I've highlighted in red that this second line of numbers falls totally within that first line. Okay, what I want to know is, are these two people related to each other? They're both related to me, but keep in mind that I've got DNA from my dad's side and my mother's side. You'll have two sets of matches on every chromosome, so you want to know which ones go where. I like to start with the smaller segment, and I'm going to label that segment. Simple. I start. She's going to be. Susan Jones is going to be in Group A. Alright. I want to know, does Susan Jones match that first cousin of mine who I've labeled Joe Smith? I go to my Family Tree DNA webpage, and I want to make sure I'm showing all my matches on the Family Finder results. And I'm going to put Susan Jones in over there on the name column, so that I get her results come up. Okay, she pops up into view. The little squiggly line right there, that's going to be pretty important. That's the in common with function. When you click on that, you get a little box with two options in it, in common with or not in common with. You're going to want to click on the common matches. This is going to tell you who Susan Jones matches that you also match. In other words, it's going to let you know if she matches your cousin. In this case, no results found. Because I know that that's a maternal first cousin, I can automatically conclude that this is a match from my dad's side of the family. So, right now, she was the only one that fell in that range. So she's a group of one, you know. That's just information to put aside for now. These two buttons here you'll need to use because either one of them will get you back to a list of all of your matches, which as you go through your spreadsheet, you're going to need to be going through this process quite a bit. I think the battery's dying. Come on. There we go. All right. I did the same thing with this third line. Again, that falls within the range of that first cousin up there on the first line. I ran through the process. I looked for Maria Green in my list of matches. I found her, ran me in common with. She didn't match Joe Smith. Again, that's another paternal match. I put her in group B for now. And you're liable to end up with a dozen groups on your chromosomes that, you know, have a lot of matches on them. Okay? They're both groups of one. They're on my paternal side. I'm not doing a lot of work with that right now, so that's just an interesting fact that's now recorded in this database. The next group of matches, we've got a whole bunch of them here that fall or overlap somewhat, including back to that first line up there. Yeah?
What numbers are you looking at that say overlap? I don't understand that part.
34 million to 63 million falls within the range of 18
million.
Okay,
got it. Okay.
This is strictly a numerical thing.
Okay, so I didn't know what number we were comparing. Thank you.
It's the beginning and the ending of your segment.
Got it. Okay. Thanks.
This is the hard part for people that don't like numbers. And GenomeMate, which is one of the software, I think, converts all this to bar charts. So that's another way of doing it for the more visually oriented. You're looking for places they either fall entirely within or significantly overlap. and then the process is that you want to find out whether they match each other. Okay, again, I go to the shortest segment. And the reason I do that is when you're looking through the list of in common with, you may get people that match a whole lot of people in common with you. So I just simplify it by using the shortest segment, figuring they're going to have the least matches. All right. When I put Mason in common with, I got a list of names. There's two of them that fell within that segment right there. Mason had matches with Stanley and Sanders. There's a triangulated group. Those three people all have a common ancestral couple somewhere. actually, they also match with Joe Smith. Because I know these are maternal first cousins, I know those matches are occurring somewhere in my mother's DNA. so the process is continuously working your way through all of these matches you have. Any given segment on any chromosome, finding the groups that match each other on that same segment. It's important that they match each other on the same segment. Because I just use letters to go through, I've now labeled this group 15C. And if I want to start corresponding with either of these two people to try to figure out how we match, I at least have a starting point. Centimorgans, I need to keep in mind she could be identical by state rather than identical by descent. But the others are all good long matches. We should be able to find a common ancestor in there. These two didn't match the other ones. They're in their own group, D. Those, again, are paternal.
Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Review of what we're doing. This is when you want to use your autosomal DNA results to really leverage your research. You've still got to do your paper research. There's no way around it. But this gives you a place to focus it, a place to direct it. You need to work with triangulated groups. That's the way to most quickly get to these matches, potentially unknown ancestors. And if you know how you all match, that's great, because you can say, we got the paper trail right back to that ancestor. what I've shown you is the process using Excel. If you use a different tool, like some of the software, it will be doing basically the same thing for you behind the scenes. So you download all of your match data to an Excel spreadsheet. You slim down and dress up your spreadsheet. You identify your groups of matches using the in common with function at Family Tree DNA. As I said, you still need to use traditional genealogical research to identify a lot of these common ancestral couples, but you know you don't have to look all over the map. You can often focus according to a location or a group of related family names or something like that. It's not an overnight project. You'll probably have enough matches to keep you busy for as long as you want to work with it. And you will need to periodically go back and add new matches to your spreadsheet. So with that, I'll be glad to take any questions. Yeah.
How do you easily add new matches?
I go into the Family Tree DNA and sort by match date.
By match date. Got it.
And then if you do it frequently enough, I mean, you could download the whole spreadsheet all over again, but you've done a lot of work on that. So I try to do it every 2 weeks when I might only have 4 or 5 matches, and then I will throw those into the chromosome browser. And from the chromosome browser, you can download up to 5 matches of their data. So you're adding that to the spreadsheet and then taking out the small data and then resorting.
Okay.
Yeah.
The column with the common ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
And like a 4. So it'd be like 4 generations back. What happens? My first cousin once removed is here. Mm-hmm. We have a common ancestor, but it wouldn't be the same number on both of our lines. How would I notate that?
You can actually use whatever notation you want.
Oh, okay.
I initially didn't put the generation number, but I found it's easier to help me because you eventually want to push back, you know, further and further back those couples. And, of course, when you push back a couple, that will tell you which ancestor in the previous couple gave you the DNA. I use the generation number that's pertinent to my chart.
Okay.
And on some of them, I don't know. Like, I've got a lot that I know there's a Bonnet connection. And all I know is it's farther back than the 6th generation. So I just put greater than 6 Bonnet / unknown. So whatever works for you, so that once you've resorted all this information, when you look at it, you'll know what you're looking at. Anybody else? Okay. Well, that means I either put you all to sleep or I lost you completely. So, Lynn and I will be here for about another hour to answer any questions you've got, individually or collectively. I appreciate all of you coming and participating in Oktoberfest, and we hope you've had a wonderful time.
Thank you.